All right, morning everyone. So Parshas Emor we're doing this week, which just as a quick overview, of course, has the laws of Kohanim, that the Kohanim restrictions on who they can marry, the prohibition of them becoming impure, and so on and so forth. We have lots of laws of to do with karbonis, blemishes, purity, impurity, and so on and so forth. And also towards the end of the parsha, we have the parsha Samoyadois, the section that deals with the Yom Tovim. That's why you'll notice that every Yontif, a lot of times we read, not every Yontif, but Pesach and Shavuos, Pesach and Sukkos, we read from the Yontif Leining comes from this parsha because it deals with the Yom Tovim. So, what I want to begin with, what I'm going to do is begin with something that's in the parsha, but then we'll go back to the beginning of the parsha. So, what I want to begin with just a little something on Sfiras HaOmer, the mitzvah of counting the Omer, because we know we always, it's in this week's parsha, that's where it comes from. And we always, it's interesting because we always read Parshas Emor in the Omer. So, it's nice, it works out well because we read it in the Omer, and it's the mitzvah of the Omer is always, is in Parshas Emor. So let's have a look at the first number one on your handout. It says, "Usafartem lochem mimocharas haShabbos." Says you should count for yourselves from the day after Shabbos, which we know means the day after Yontif, the day after Pesach, second day Pesach. In other words, "Miyoyim haviachem es oimer hatnufa," from the day that you bring the korban, the sacrifice, the flower offering called oimer hatnufa, sheva Shabbosos tzmimos tiyena, 7 complete weeks. Now, why do we count the Omer? Where does the counting of the Omer actually come from? So we know that, as the Chinuch, Sefer HaChinuch tells us, and other Rishonim, that it's really a preparation for Shavuos, right? The Chinuch says we were commanded to count from the day after Yontif, Pesach, till the day the Torah was given to us, to show, he says, Laharois, to show our deep desire to reach the milestone of Shavuos, like a servant who yearns for shade and counts when is the time of freedom going to come. So same thing when we come, right, this is the words of the Chinuch. So when we come towards Shavuos, of course, the day that we re-experience the concept of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Torah is what brings us ultimate freedom. Torah is what defines us. Torah is everything that's about us as Jewish people is the Torah. And therefore, just as the Jews counted up or counted down towards Matan Torah that when they were in Mitzrayim, so too we count towards the giving of the Torah, right? Now, this concept that the counting of the Omer is a preparation for the giving of the Torah has relevance in Halacha. Okay, why? Otherwise, why would the reason have relevance in Halacha? So we know that every time we start counting Omer, it's a new mitzvah. And the Mefarshim asked the question, how come we don't make Shechiyonu? Right? How come we don't make Shechiyonu on the mitzvah of counting the Omer? So the Levush, one of the great Paskim, writes, he got a few reasons, but his second reason is that because we don't make a Shechiyonu on Sfiras Omer, because it's preparation to Shavuos. In other words, the mitzvah itself is not where we're landing up. The mitzvah is really to get to somewhere, right? When the Yontif of Shavuos comes, we make Shechiyonu, right? When the Yontif of Shavuos comes, we make Shechiyonu. So that Shechiyonu becomes the Shechiyonu of the Omer as well. But we don't make Shechiyonu of the Omer because the Omer is really just counting to get to something else. It's not a thing in itself, it's to get to something else, right? Having said that, interestingly enough, even though it's a mitzvah of preparation, but yet it's still a mitzvah. In other words, every day you count the Omer, you make a bracha, right? So it's not just like, which is an interesting lesson, because sometimes the preparation for something is the goal itself. Like the journey is just important as a destination, right? We've talked about that a number of times. So bottom line is, I'm just saying that there's a concept of Sfiras HaOmer, the fact that it's a time that we're preparing for Shavuos, has relevance in Halacha, and that's one of the reasons that we don't make Shechiyonu on the mitzvah of counting the Omer. Now, the time of the Omer, as we know, is a time of as the Kedushas Levi and other Mefarshim point out, it's a time of Birur Hamidus. It's time to work on our character. It's time to become better, to refine who we are. Because this is the whole concept, right? As the Kedushas Levi explains, what Ditchev Rav explains, that Pesach, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, everything about Pesach was a gift. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He revealed Himself to us. The miracles were given to us in a silver platter, and He took us out of Mitzrayim. But the goal, of course, of serving Hashem is that we should serve Hashem, right? That we should serve Hashem from ourselves. As it's called in the Hasidic terminology, mimata lemaila, not from above to below, but from below to above, because then it's ours. We own it, it's our thing. And that's why he says, that's why after Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and He gave us the miracles, and He revealed Himself to us, and so on and so forth, then He gave us 7 weeks to refine the 7 midos that we have. We know we have Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and so on, right? And he says, like, for example, that the first week is Chesed. Chesed represents love. Love to Hashem, Avas Hashem. So love to Hashem can come in 2 ways. Love to Hashem can come that Hashem reveals Himself to us and inspires us to such an extent that we love Him. Or we can work on loving Hashem, right? Which is the idea of the Omer. That we work in order to love Him. And the same thing with Gevurah and discipline and all the other 7 midos. Which is part of the reason why there's a very strange thing with Sefiras Omer. I just want to share this part with you, and then I'm going to go on to something else completely. It's interesting that we have this pasuk, if you have a look again, number 1, where it says that we should count the day after Shabbos. That happens to be this year, that's where actually it falls out, because Pesach was on Shabbos, therefore we count the Omer on the second day of Pesach, which is the day after Shabbos. It's Motzei Shabbos, right? Sunday. But we know that's not always like that. It's always the second day of Pesach, and in fact, this was the source, we mentioned this before, this was the source of tremendous anguish and tremendous debate between the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, and the Prushim, in the time of the Romans and so on, because they insisted that we should take the literal pshat of the pasuk, and that Remocharas HaShabbos means always on a Sunday, no matter when Pesach falls out, we always start on a Sunday, which makes Shavuos always on a Sunday, as it is this year. But you know, right? Because it'll always be on a. And we know that that's not the truth, because we have Torah Shabbat Peh, we have the Oral Torah, and the Oral Torah tells us not like that. But the question does stare at us, so then why didn't the Torah just speak clearly? Just say the day after Yom Tov. Why does it say the day after Shabbos, right? And part of the reason is because Shabbos is a gift, right? In other words, it's emphasizing what the whole concept of the Omer is. At the first day of Pesach, even though it's not Shabbos, it's a Yom Tov, but it's like Shabbos. It's the concept of a gift, right? Because that's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is, the Gemara says, is mekatcha v'kaima. It's always holy. No matter what you do, it's always holy. Right? If you proclaim it, you don't proclaim it, from when the gold bull is created, Shabbos remains a holy day each week. Right? But Yom Tov is more, we proclaim the Yom Tov, right? Because that's how the calendar works. When the Beis Din decides when the calendar is supposed to be, when Rosh Chodesh is supposed to fall out, then the Yom Tov. That's why in the davening of Shabbos, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Hashem sanctifies the Shabbos. On Yom Tov we say, Mekadesh Yisrael veHazmanim. Hashem sanctifies the Jews and then the Yom Tov, because we are the one that make the Yom Tov, right? But Pesach, of course, is a Yom Tov, and we still say Mekadesh Yisrael veHazmanim. But the concept of Pesach is a Shabbos idea. In other words, it's Hashem giving us a gift of freedom. And that's why the Torah says, Sfartam Lechem, you have to count, Mimacharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. Because Shabbos, Hashem gave it to you all. But now you've got to try and elevate yourself and make yourself more worthy and refined in order to receive the Torah on Shavuos, right? It's also a bit of a deeper pshat in this concept of Macharas HaShabbos, that the day after Shabbos means that Hashem, when He gives us a gift, that's a tremendous revelation. But the truth is that when we start working on ourselves, that's very hard, because working on ourselves means we have to bring all of us along. Even the Nefesh HaBamis, even the animal soul, even the parts of us that resists, which is a difficult thing, and we have to do it. That's part of serving Hashem. However, Hashem gives us, even for that, Hashem doesn't do it for us, but Hashem gives us inspiration to do it. He gives us the koyach to do it. And that koyach is a very high koyach, a very strong koyach, because to change the animal soul, for the godly soul to be inspired, that's relatively easy. But for the animal soul to work hard, that we need a tremendous transcendent power from Hashem. That's also hinted in the concept of Mocharas HaShabbos, because Shabbos represents a very, very high revelation. So Hashem says, I'm asking you to count the Omer, but I'm giving you the power to do that. That's the idea of Shabbos. Okay. Good. So that's the middle of the parasha. However, I'm going to share with you something else, which we'll see also connects to the Omer, the time of the Omer, not so much the mitzvah of counting Omer. But it goes down to the first pasuk, and I'm going to share with you, I've read this most fascinating, talk, essay, whatever you want to call it, from the Shvilei Pinchas, who I have quoted before. I have his svarim, and I get his emails every week. Reb Pinchas Friedman, he's quite a massive Talmud Chacham, who lives in Israel. He's the Rosh HaKolel of all the Kolelim of the Hasidim of Bells, just for a bit of general knowledge. But he writes amazing stuff in Drush, very, very knowledgeable, brings from all different places, puts it together, and it's quite amazing. Not always easy reading, but it's quite fascinating. So I want to share with you part of what he shares on this week's parasha in one of the years that he gave Shiurim. But it's a long concept. So, and with many, many parts. So fasten your seatbelt and stay focused. Okay. So he starts with the beginning of the parasha, right? Let's look at the beginning of the parasha. Number two. The beginning of the parasha says, Vayomer, that's why it's called Parshas Emor. It says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Emor el ha-koyhanim. Say to the koyhanim b'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron. Ve'amartu aleim, and say to them, double expression, le'nefesh lo yitama be'amav, they may not become impure to another body. In other words, this is the mitzvah or the prohibition of a kohen becoming tomei, right? Becoming impure. I'm talking about the impurity that comes and is contracted from a corpse, from a dead body, right? Incidentally, even though today we're all considered tamei anyway, but a kohen still has no prohibition, they're not allowed to add to that level of impurity, which is why we have the whole issue of a kohen not going to a funeral, not being in the same room as a dead body, hence the special room for the kohenim and all that kind of stuff. Okay. And then it goes on to talk about others when they could, what the exceptions are, in terms of when they lose a relative, or the kohen gadol can never become tamei, and the other mitzvahs of the kohanim about who they can marry and cannot marry, and so on and so forth. So, the first question is, there's a deviation here, there's a change from always when Hashem gives mitzvahs. How do most mitzvahs in the Torah begin? Not Vayomer Hashem, but, anyone? Vayedaber Hashem, right? Normally it's always Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer. In fact, if you just turn over the page, you'll see it there in number 7. We are actually quote the first time in the Torah that it's written, right? By Dabir Hashem el Moshe Lemer. Normally it's Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, command the Jewish people with this particular mitzvah, right? Very rarely it is used by Yomer Hashem, and this is one of the instances that instead of saying by Dabir Hashem, it says, it should have said by Dabir Hashem el Moshe Lemer, Dabir el HaKohanim, speak to the Kohanim, and so on and so forth, right? It doesn't do that, and we need to understand why. The second thing we need to understand, look at the pasuk again, number two. It says, Emor el ha-kohanim, say to the kohanim, ve'omar to aleim, and say to them. Double expression, which seems completely redundant. Yeah? Famous idea. Rashi picks up on that, quoting the Gemara. If you have a look at number 3, where the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, tash toshma emor ve'omar to, why does it say double expression, emor and ve'omar to? Lahazir gedoilim al haktanim. It's that the adults have to warn the children. In other words, they have to pass this on to the children. Now we find this 3 times in the Torah, this emphasis, but one of them is in this particular context, where the Kohanim with this mitzvah are told that they must make sure to pass this on and to supervise the young ones, that they should also be educated in this mitzvah, right? So the obvious question is, why specifically here? Why is this mitzvah singled out as a mitzvah where the gedolim, the adults, have to supervise the younger ones? Yeah. So basically, there's 2 questions on this pasuk. One is the emphasis on the word vayomer and emor instead of vayedaber. And by the way, it's not just one time. This pasuk has 3 times the word amira. Right? We know there's different forms of communication: dibur and amira. Right? Dibur is structured speech, emor, softer speech, whatever the case is, but over here it's 3 times. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emor el Hakohenim, Ve'amarta aleihem. All three use the expression of Amira as opposed to the expression of Dibur. Right? So that's the question here. And the second is, why single out this particular mitzvah for the adults supervising the children? Okay. So what he does is he goes off on a tangent and talks about something that's connected to the Omer time, which we know. One of the things we know from the Omer is that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the disciples of Rabbi Akiva, passed away during this time, which is why we have partial mourning during this period of the calendar, right? So let's have a look at the Gemara. Let's have a look at number four. We'll read through together. Says the Gemara, Amru, they reported, they said the following thing. Shneim Asar Elef Zugim Talmidim. There were 12,000 pairs of students, i.e. 24,000. Hoyu loy l'Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva had. Migivas, Arantifas, in other words, they were spanning from this place to that place. The Kulan Mesu B'Perek Echad, they all died in one period of time, which we know of a period of 33 days. Mipnei Shulei Nohagu Kovoid Zeh Lazeh, because they didn't respect each other. Right? V'Hoyo Ha'Oilam Shameim, and the world was desolate. You have to understand, these were great Talmidim, these were great Tanoim. Rabbi Akiva was the source of Torah Shabbat Peh. You can imagine a tragedy of 24,000 Talmidim passing away and the world is left bereft of Torah. Achabor Rabbi Akiva, Itzur Rabbi Seinu Shabbadorim, until Rabbi Akiva came to our teachers in the south, Shono Lehem, and he taught them. He taught five Talmidim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, of course, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, one of his Talmidim, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, right? The Haim Ha'amidu Torah Oysashah. They were the ones to reestablish Torah. If not for that episode of the five Talmidim, we would not have Torah today. So they rebuilt the Torah and they reintroduced Torah into the world. And then says the Gemara again, Tana, we learned, when did they die? Because we just said before they died over one period. They died, Kula Mesu Mi Pesach Ad Atzeres. They all died sometimes between Chag HaPesach and Shavuos. Some of them first were spaying, that's a time of din, that's a time of judgment. That's like a sort of a vulnerable time in a way. So therefore that's when they died. Okay. So the obvious question is, why? I mean, yes, they were great tzaddikim, they were great talmidim. Okay, they didn't respect each other, true. But that's a reason for all 24,000 to perish in such a short time, right? What does it mean? What's the basis of it? Which, of course, is a question that many, many ask, and there's many, many explanations. So he brings a interesting perspective from the Tzvi Elimelech. The Tzvi Elimelech was the Blujewer Rebbe. His name was Tzvi Elimelech, Blujewer Rebbe, and he has a sefer called Tzvi Latzadik. And he quotes a bit of a different medrash, very interesting medrash. This is like what we just learned every school child knows. Like, this is, they didn't respect each other. What does it actually mean? So there's I have to admit, I never knew this medrash. It's a fascinating medrash. And look what it says. It's a medrash in Koheles Rabbah number 5 on the handout. And it reads the following. Similar, Rabbi Akiva Oymer, Shneim Osar Alpayim Talmidim Hoyuli. Rabbi Akiva said that I had 12,000 Talmidim. Interesting, a bit of a different version here in the medrash. According to the medrash, there were 12,000, not 24,000, but it doesn't matter, whatever the case is. Megavas varantrifas, v'kulon meisu b'chaya, and they all died in my lifetime, says Rabbi Akiva. Bein Pesach la'atzeres, between Pesach and Atzeres, v'besoif at the end, he'emidu li yeshiva, I got 7 more talmidim. Also a different version, not 5, but 7. Okay, that's details. Now look at what the medrash says. Omar lahem, so he said to these talmidim, these new talmidim that he had, he said to them the following. Harishonim loy mesu ella mipnei shahoyso einehem tzoro batoira zelaze. The first ones died because they had a narrow eye. A narrow eye means they were stingy, and they didn't share their Torah one with each other. Right? Atem loy tiyuke. You shouldn't be that way. Atam loy tiyukein. Don't be like that. Share your Torah. Teach your Torah. The 24,000 or the 12,000 Talmidim didn't do that. They learned and they kept their Torah to themselves and they didn't teach and they didn't share and they didn't inspire each other. Don't be like that, says Rabbi Akiva to these. Omdu, says the Medrash, Omdu, they got up, Umilu kol Eretz Yisrael Torah. And they filled Eretz Yisrael with Torah. Isn't that amazing, Medrash? We have to understand why. I mean, it doesn't answer the question. And this is also such a terrible avery, they should all die. We'll see in a second, right? But it's another perspective. What does it mean? Nogu kovel zelazeh? They didn't respect each other. We can say that the two versions, the two stories go together. What does it mean they didn't respect each other? It means they didn't inspire, they didn't teach each other, they didn't share with each other. Torah that they learned, right? Whereas when Rabbi Akiva told the new set of Talmidim, the couple, a handful of Talmidim, don't be like that, suddenly a few people and the entire Eretz Yisrael was filled with the Torah. Fascinating image. So he says like this, the Tzvilat Tzadik says the following, he says, and I'm quoting for you. He says like this, that the first Talmidim didn't want to give benefit, didn't want to give pleasure to each other. They didn't tolerate each other so much, didn't respect each other, linking the two Gemaras, the two Chazals. And therefore each one did not reveal to the other what he knows and what he was mekabel from his Rebbe. They all received from the same Rebbe, but you know, everyone receives something different. That's how it works, right? Even Talmidim who learn from the same teacher, each one has a different perspective, each one has a different thing. Each one, not all of them came to the shir every single day. Each one learned different times, different things. And they didn't share it. And therefore he says, we know that Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, from which we live, right, depends on sharing. It depends on transmission. Right? We have Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav doesn't depend so much on transmission. Torah Shebichsav is available. It was always written down from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. There were Sefer Torah, so you can go and learn it. Torah Shebal Peh depends or depended until it was written down solely, completely on transmission, on sharing, on teaching, on inspiring. Even today, but not as much as then perhaps, right? And the Torah Shebal Peh, as Torah does, brings life. They stalled the process of Torah Shebal Peh. They hindered the process of Torah Shebal Peh. So they were punished with something that is opposite of life. Now, the Shvile Pinchas brings, he says, this links into a very fascinating Gemara. If you just turn over the page number 6, there's a Gemara in Brachas which says the following. You know, towards the end of the Chumash, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the Jewish people and he says, Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Haskes means hearken, listen now, the Jewish people. And he inspires them, right, to learn and to keep mitzvahs. So the Gemara says the following. Look at this. It says, Haskes, hearken. What does it mean? Asu kitois kitois. Make groups. Don't learn alone. Make groups. V'isku b'Torah. And learn Torah. Why? Ki fi she'ein ha'Torah niknis elo b'chabura. Because Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, Torah can only properly be acquired, mastered, it can only be properly be mastered in groups. Because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, like this is similar to what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina said. Oh, my Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, my dichsiv. What does it mean in the pasuk when it says? What does it mean? I just want to get the exact translation of the pasuk, right? What does it mean when it says Cherev alabadim v'noy alu? There will be a sword against those that are, who are alone. It means Cherev al Soneim Shal Talmidei Chachamim. It means there can be a sword upon, and the Gemara uses a euphemism here, the enemies of the scholars. It means the scholars themselves, right? Sheyosvim bad bevad, if they sit alone, ve'oiskim b'Torah, they learn Torah, and they don't share, and they don't learn in groups, and they don't inspire and enhance each other's learning. Right? That was the punishment. Okay, now, let's understand this all, right? Let's go back to this concept of Vayedaber Hashem or Vayomer Hashem. Okay, so we know that in the pasuk, all over the Torah, Not like our parsha, when it starts off with a new mitzvah or instruction, it says, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. And he says, the very first time it says it in Shmois, where Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him to go to Paro and that he should send the Jewish people out, right? Now, let's take that pasuk. It's number 7 on your handout, so you can see it. This is like, I don't know how many times this pasuk is written in the Torah, but many, right? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer. Starts off with Vayedaber and ends with Lemer. Yeah? So again, there's two forms of communication, Dibur and Amira. So all these psukim start with Dibur, Vayedaber Hashem, and ends with Amira. El Moshe Lemer, right? Now, first of all, what does Lemer mean? Yeah. Lemer means, the Mefarshim explain, Lemer, the word Lemer, actually, what does it mean, Lemer say? I mean, first of all, why is it, do we need an extra word? Why don't I just say, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, period. Hashem spoke to Moshe. What's the addition of Lemer? Lemer means to say it to others, to pass it on, right? This is what Lemer always means. That's an accepted pshat. By the way, that's why we have a few times in the Torah where the Mefarshim ask a question that Lemer doesn't seem to have a meaning. For example, by the Ten Commandments coming up for Shavuos, right? Aseres Adibros. It also says there, Vayedaber Elokim Eskol HaDvarim Me'ela, Hashem spoke all these things, Lemer. And if that's a question, because he was talking to every single person, he was talking to all the Yidden, even the Neshamas of the future. So therefore, Lemer becomes a problematic expression. I'm just bringing out how the word Lemer means to pass on this to the next generation or pass on to others, assuming that some people weren't there. But Matan Torah, everyone was there, so why do we have Lemer? So, okay, that's a separate discussion. Why is Lemer over there? But the standard accepted pshat of the word Lemer is to pass it on to other people. Now, it says, this Lemer is not just about a technical thing. I'm giving you the mitzvah, pass it on to the Jewish people. Lemer is the essence of this concept that Torah needs to be shared. And you know, he if you look at number 8 of your handout, he says a very beautiful pshat. Not his own pshat, it comes from Medrash Shmuel and Avodas Yisrael. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, right? We're learning Pirkei Avos now between Pesach and Shavuos. Look what it says, number 8. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kibel Mehillel v'shama. He received the Torah from Hillel and Shammai. Who are your Omer? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to say, this is a beautiful pshat, I've never heard this pshat before. Im lamadato Torah harbe, if you learn a lot of Torah, now I'm going to read it first with a simple pshat, that's always understood, right? If you're going to learn a lot of Torah, al tachsik toiva la'asmucha, don't praise yourself, don't hold the good for yourself, in other words, don't attribute greatness to yourself, in other words, right? Don't become arrogant, in other words. Why? Because that's why you were created. You were created to learn Torah. So don't think like you're such a wonderful, great individual because you learned Torah, right? That's the simple reading of the Mishnah. That's how it's normally understood. But they explain it a bit differently. He says, who are your Omer? Is to say, Im lamadato Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah. Now we know that Torah is always called Toiv. As we know, Ein Toiv Ela Torah, Chazal say. The ultimate good is Torah. So im lamadat Torah, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik toivo la'atzmacha, don't keep this good for yourself. Don't keep the Torah to yourself. Ki lekach noitzarta, because that's why you were created. You were created to share it on. You were created to give it to others. Right? Beautiful pshat. Now, you know that every Friday night we say Eishes Chayil, right? From Mishlei. Eishes Chayil really actually, I mean, it can be taught on sort of many levels, but actually it's really the standard pshat. Why do we say it on Friday night? Not only because it's for the women, but actually it's for Torah. Right? The Torah is called the Isha, the woman of Allah, right? So, look what it says. Look what the Gemara says. And it's number 9 you hand out. Sorry, I'm doing a lot of references today, but in order to understand it all, we need to understand this also. Omar Rabbi Lazar says, "My dichsiv, what does it mean?" This is from Eshes Chayil, right? It says, "Pia poscha bechachma." She opens up her mouth with wisdom, but Torah's chesed al l'shoina, and the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. Says the Gemara, v'chiyesh Torah shel chesed, v'yesh Torah she'ena shel chesed. What, there's a kind Torah and unkind Torah? What does it mean, Torah's chesed? Torah. She say, she opens up her mouth in wisdom, v'Torah al shoyda, the Torah is on her tongue. What's this Torah's chesed story? Ella gives two ideas. One idea is Torah lishmo, if you learn Torah for its proper sake, then it's called Torah shel chesed. Shelo lishmo, if you learn it for an ulterior motive, zu Torah she'eno shel chesed, that's a Torah of not kindness. Look at the second shot. Ika da'amri. Torah l'lamdo, if a person learns Torah to teach the Torah, zui Torah shel chesed, that's a Torah of kindness. Shelo l'lamdo, zui Torah she'eno shel chesed. If he learns Torah not to share it, not to teach it, that's called a Torah not of kindness. Right? That's going back to the second version of the story of the disciples of Rabbi Akiva. They learned Torah. They were great Torah scholars, every one of the 24,000 of them. But it wasn't Torah's chesed. They didn't pass on the Torah. Yeah? Now, at the very, very beginning of the Torah, yeah, we're all following so far, we're good? Okay. At the very beginning of Torah, it says, Bereshis bara Elohim, right? Famous pasuk. I didn't copy it. Hashem created, in the beginning Hashem created. But it doesn't use the term Hashem, it uses the term Elohim, right? What does Rashi say there? Rashi brings that there's a, based on a medrash, that originally Hashem wanted to create the world b'midas hadin, with the character of judgment. Elohim is din, gvura, right? Why? Because Hashem wanted a just world. It should be just, right? Truth, justice. However, v'ra'a she'eino elo miskayim, Hashem saw that a world like that will never exist. It's not sustainable. If we all got zapped every time we made a mistake, we'd be in deep trouble, right? Mm-hmm. So what did Hashem do? Shitfal l'midas hadin. He took the midah of compassion, and he harnessed it to the midah of judgment. So there is judgment, there is justice, but there's also rachamim. Yeah. So like this. Torah, yeah. How do we get this midah sarachim? How do we bring it together? So let's look at Torah. What is Torah? We know that. What's the one word that we describe when we use Torah?
No.
Yeah. Torah of what? Torah of truth. Torah's emes, correct? Sorry? Yeah, Torah Akdosha, does say holy Torah, that's true, Torah is holy. But one of the things we know about Torah is that that's our moral compass, it's absolute morality, it's everything. Why? Because we know the Torah is the ultimate truth. And Hashem is ultimate truth. In fact, we say Chesomay Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The signaturing of Hashem is truth. Which, by the way, is why Hashem wanted to originally create the world with justice, because that's truth. What is justice? Justice is truth, right? Now, there's a pasuk, a famous pasuk. He doesn't bring it, but we've talked about this before. We said Chesed VeEmes Nivgashu. When Hashem created the world, truth and justice meet, because you need both. A world without justice is not going to work. But a world without kindness also won't work. But justice and kindness are very different to each other. Right? You know, I'll give you an example of how this works, right? Api halacha. Because there's two, I mean, we've spoken about this before, there's two values that we know are so crucial, but and they don't always come together. On the one hand, we say truth is like Hashem is truth. The signet ring of Hashem is truth. And yet we say, HaTorah LaNitna, the Torah was only given Laso Shalom Ba'olam, to make peace in the world. Peace and truth don't work together, always. You know that, right? We even have a leniency to say a lie under very certain circumstances for the purpose of what? Peace. Which means it's not truth. It's a lie. Yeah? Okay, you need to know, and you can't always use that. People always say, you know, it's a white lie. It's not so simple. Not every time it's okay. Why? Because on the one hand, the Torah says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. You have to stay away, very, very far away from lying, because that's dishonesty. It's the opposite of truth, and Hashem is truth. Yet Hashem says, I gave you the Torah to make peace. And sometimes for peace, you have to override the truth. We have this concept when two people come for a din Torah, right? They come to a Beis Din. So there's two approaches the Beis Din are allowed to take. Or one is to recommend pshara, compromise. They ask the litigants, what do you want? Do you want pshara, which they encourage actually, compromise? Or do you want din, do you want justice, right? Now, let's analyze this for a moment. Compromise, by definition, is a lie. Correct? If I take you to Beis Din and I say, you owe me $1 million, one of us is lying. If we compromise at 500,000, it's not true. Someone's either not gotten what 500,000 that they should have got, or someone's given 500,000 they shouldn't have given. Correct? So, sure, yet it's achieved shalom. If the litigants don't want pshara, and they begin to judge the case, and they're coming closer to a verdict, it's too late. Then they have to go for din. That's halacha. Now we're going to go to the absolute. We're going to go to the hard truth. What's going to be the outcome of it? What happens in most litigations? What's the outcome? The truth prevails, but not peace. Someone's upset, right? The judge didn't do it, whatever, yeah, so that kind of thing. So they can be exclusive, but they have to work together. So our job is to live a life of truth, but also to pursue peace. That's often moral dilemmas stem from this tension. Correct? I'm just bringing out the two concepts.
Or parenting young children.
Correct. Everything. Life generally, right? Yeah, correct. And they're both important, by the way, right? Chesed and Gevura, basically afterwards. So MS, truth, is really more connected to Gevura than it is to Chesed. Chesed is compassion, kindness. Truth is discipline, justice. Right? So Hashem creates the world. The world is an outcome of Torah. Because the Zohar says, he doesn't bring this, but this fits in perfectly. The Zohar says, Istakil ba'oiraisa u'bara alma, Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. Yeah? So how does the world begin? With Torah. What's Torah? Truth. Gevura. Justice. Which means if we break the Torah, we're in big trouble. Yeah? So how do we bring chesed? How do we make sure there's chesed in the world? How do we make sure therefore Hashem will approach us also with chesed? The answer is, this is the beauty of this pshat. We have to turn the Torah into a Torah of chesed. How do we do that? The Torah is not a Torah of chesed to begin with. It's Torah of truth. How do we turn Torah into chesed? By teaching others, by inspiring others. Right? Which now goes back to the whole story of Rav Akiva. It's a beautiful shot. Now it goes back to the story of Rav Akiva's Talmidim. Isn't it very harsh? Isn't it out of character of Hashem a bit to kill 24,000 Talmidim in a short period of time? Why? Because they didn't share with each other? They didn't teach each other? That's it? The answer is no. That wasn't a consequence of that particular Avera. It was a natural consequence. Because what they did is, they were so steeped in Torah, so they lived in the world of justice, and they didn't take the Torah and make it a Torah of chesed. So they became very susceptible to the slightest of din. Now the way justice works is, the greater you are, the more din you have. The more scrutiny you're under. Okay? So then for something relatively minor, they had only one system to go by. The system of complete justice, and they didn't survive. Because you can't survive only on justice. Right? How do you avoid that? Torah chesed al d'shayna. Has to be a Torah of chesed. How do you make a Torah of chesed? By inspiring others, by teaching others. Incidentally, that doesn't necessarily have to be a teacher. It just has to be engagement. Because what happens if someone is a Talmud, someone is a student, is not yet a teacher? So we know. give me 1 second. We know, I think it was Rabbi Akiva himself, but we know that. No, not Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Hanina said, right? He said, "Harbei lomadeti miraboisa." There's much that I learned from my teachers, from my friends even more, and from my students even more. Right? A good teacher makes his students into teachers because he learns from them. He gets them engaged and he gets them asking questions and he learns from them. So the Torah has to be a Torah that's sharing all around. Teacher to students, person to friend, students to teacher. Then there's a responsibility generally to share. The previous Rebbe said that if someone knows Aleph, they have to teach Aleph to someone else who doesn't know the Aleph, even though he doesn't know anything more.
It's not so easy.
No, correct.
It's not so easy, because if you're living in not this kind of world, really,
Not always everyone wants to he listened, true, but nevertheless, that's our job.
There's lessons that you can, someone often different.
Part of being a teacher, part of learning is to know what to share, when to share. The timing is important, the content is important, the packaging is important, always retaining the authenticity and the truth, but you're right, yeah, not always easy. That's a job. The job is to turn Torah of Emes into Torah of Chesed. Right? That's why Rabbi Akiva, at the end of his life, we learn in the Gemara. It's interesting. Rabbi Akiva said, "V'havta l'reacha kamoicha," that you have to love someone like yourself, right? It's a klal gadol b'Torah. It's a foundation in Torah. That's interesting. We find two opposite things with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one that, when it came to physical survival, there's a famous Gemara about two people going in a desert. You know that the story of two people going in a desert and they only have one jug of water. They both share it, they'll die. If the one takes it, the one will survive. And there's two opinions in the Gemara there. One opinion is, well, you share it now, don't worry about what's going to happen later. Rabbi Akiva says, no, chayecha koyma, your life takes precedence. I'm not going to hold. You own the water, you drink the water. So he says, that's only, Rabbi Akiva only said that in the physical sense. But when it comes to ruchnis, when it comes to Torah, that's not true. You can't focus on your own Torah survival. You have an obligation to share it on and to inspire it, to turn the Torah into the Torah of Chesed, which Rabbi Akiva demonstrated himself. There were those that criticized Rabbi Akiva. Towards the end, when the Romans made a terrible gezeira against, a terrible decree against teaching Torah, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva, he used to be makil kehilois perabim. He used to gather people in public and teach Torah under strict illegality. And he gave up his life. Not he risked his life. He ended up giving up his life because of it, right? And it's a discussion among the Mefarshim. First of all, some of his own colleagues at the time criticized it, and second of all, the Mefarshim Taka try to work out. I mean, why did he put himself into such a danger? Are you permitted to do that? Are you obligated to do that? Especially Rabbi Akiva, who seems to say your own life takes precedence. That's begashmias. But when it comes to Torah, Torah has to be a Torah of Chesed. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva put himself into danger. He risked his life. He went on a serious nefesh to teach Torah to others. Now we can understand the pasuk by Dabir Hashem l'Moshe Lemar. Right? Hashem starts off teaching. It's by Dabir Hashem. What by Dabir Hashem? Dibur and Amira are very different. Dibur is harsh language. We know, structured, firm language. Amira is soft language, right? We know that. As he says, it's known, I mean, known from many sources, that Dibur is Loshen Kosher, it's harsh language, which is Midas Hadin, it's Gevura. Amira is soft language, Midas Hachesed. So whenever Hashem talks to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayedaber Hashem, it's a Torah of justice. It's a Torah of truth. But its purpose, El Moshe, why is it going to be transmitted to Moshe? What must Moshe Rabbeinu do with it? Lamer. He should make it a Torah of Chesed. Isn't that beautiful? Right? Vayedaber Hashem, El Moshe, Lamer. Turn it into a Torah of Chesed. Otherwise, the Torah won't survive and the world won't survive. So that's how Torah normally works. When it comes to the parasha of Kohanim, Hashem wants to emphasize this with great emphasis. So what does he do? We don't start off like Vayidaber Hashem, Vayoyimer Hashem. Why? Because we're talking to Koyanim. We know that Al-Pi Kabbalah, Koyan is Chesed and Levi is Gevura. The Koyanim are Chesed. That's why when it comes to Chesed, the whole language is Amira. Because they're the ones who do this most. They're the ones who are connected to Chesed. So therefore, when it's talking to Koyanim, we emphasize more the Chesed part of it than the Gevura. And that's why it's specifically at this mitzvah where the Torah says, I'm giving a mitzvah to Koyanim, Emor and Omarto lehazir gedoilim al haktanim. To make sure that the adults communicate, supervise, and inspire, and teach, and guide the younger ones. Because that's the whole purpose of, that's the Koyanim's job. They are Koyanim of Chesed. So therefore, the whole thing is Chesed, and it's specifically this mitzvah which has the mitzvah of Lahazir Gedoyle Malaktanim for the adults to communicate to the children. And with that he answers this whole thing, why it is. Because the whole avoida of a Koyan, that we know, Pikabola, the whole avoida of a Koyan is to sweeten judgment, is to make, that's why Koyanim give the mitzvah to bench. That's why Koyanim bench us. Duchanim. Because they are chesed, that's the thing. The whole idea of Brikas Koyanim that takes place on Yontif, or in Eretz Yisrael takes place every day, is because the Koyanim have the ability that if there's any din, if there's any justice coming from Hashem, any harshness coming from Hashem, or anything that should be appropriate because a person hasn't behaved in the right way, whatever the case is, the Koyanim have the ability to transform it, to neutralize it, and transform it into Chesed. Because Koyanim are people of Chesed. And that's why when it comes to therefore their job is very emphasized in this Pasuk, where it's Vayoymer Hashem, Emor El HaKoyanim, V'Amarta, just communicating to the Koyanim what their main job is, to bring Chesed into the world, to turn over the Gevura. But of course, it's the job of everyone, really. That's just the model is the Koyanim, but we all have the Koyan within us, the Chesed in us, and that's why the part of the lesson that we take from Sfiras HaOmer, from the whole story of Akiva, I thought it was just an amazing perspective on the story of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, that when we learn Torah, we should learn Torah, and of course, coming up to Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is all about Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the one to, you know, he was all Torah. Torah was his life and his whole survival. But he was one of the five Talmidim who fixed this concept of not holding the Torah to themselves, but communicating it to others. And that turns the Torah into Torah of Chesed. And that brings the Bracha. So I thought since it's connected to the Parsha and also connected to the Omer, it would be a beautiful thing to share and to share that perspective on the whole story of Rabbi Akiva. And he's told me we're going to stop a little bit early today.